Trevor. Welcome, everyone, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One pearl of great price. It's rare, worth much value. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What is the value of the kingdom of heaven to you? Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. What is the kingdom of heaven worth? I want to read about four brothers of old who found what the kingdom of heaven was worth. They had been seeking to destroy the church with a friend of theirs, Alma. And an angel of the Lord struck them down. And Alma remained speechless as they fasted and prayed for him. He learned of the mercy of God and forgiveness. And the sons of Mosiah, the king, these four sons, also learned of his mercy as they were shocked by the power of God. The earth trembled, and an angel appeared to Alma, and they heard the angel's words. They went on to repent of their sins. And this is what they did after they repented. It says, "And now it came to pass," and I am in Alma chapter 11, starting in verse 200 on page 289. "And now it came to pass that Alma began from this time forth to teach the people, and those which were with Alma at the time the angel appeared unto him." So they all went to teach the people. "Traveling round through the land, publishing to all the people the things which they had heard and seen, and preaching the word of God in much tribulation, being greatly persecuted by those that were unbelievers, being smitten by many of them. But notwithstanding this, they did impart much consolation to the church, confirming their faith and exhorting them with long suffering and much travail to keep the commandments of God." The kingdom of heaven had become of high value to them. They suffered much. They were persecuted by the people. "And four of them were the sons of Mosiah, and their names were Ammon and Aaron and Omner and Himni. These were the names of the sons of Mosiah, and after they had traveled throughout all the land of Zarahemla and among all the people which were under the reign of King Mosiah, zealously striving to repair all the injuries which they had done to the church, because they had persecuted the church. They sought to destroy the church before before they had repented. Confessing all their sins and publishing all the things which they had seen and explaining the prophecies and in the scriptures to all who desired to hear them. They were willing to tell others of the hope that lied within them. And thus they were instruments in the hands of God in bringing many to the knowledge of the truth, yea, to the knowledge of their Redeemer. And how blessed are they, for they did publish peace. They did publish good tidings of good, and they did declare unto the people that the Lord reigneth. I don't know if you all remember, but in Isaiah, and many times throughout the Book of Mormon, there is a blessing to those who publish peace. A blessing to those who are willing to share the hope that's in them. So it says, blessed are the feet of them who, I don't even want to paraphrase because I'm going to get it wrong. But the significance of it is they are blessed, those who are willing to give their lives to declare the word of God to others. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now it came to pass that after the sons of Mosiah had done all these things, they took a small number with them and returned to their father, the king, and desired of him that he would grant unto them that they might, with those whom they had selected, go up to the land of Nephi, that they might preach these things, preach the things which they had heard, that they might impart the word of God to their brethren, the Lamanites, that perhaps they might bring them to the knowledge of the Lord their God and convince them of the iniquity of their fathers, and that perhaps they might cure them of their hatred toward the Nephites, that they might also be brought to rejoice in the Lord their God, that they might become friendly to one another, that there should be no more contentions in all the land, in all the land which the Lord God had given them. So they wanted to go not only to their loved ones, but to their enemy, those who they had warred against in the past. They didn't, and I'll go ahead and continue. Now they were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, for they could not bear that any human soul should perish. Yea, even the very thoughts that any soul should endure endless torment did cause them to quake and tremble. And thus did the Spirit of the Lord work upon them, for they were the very vilest of sinners. So, you know, the scripture says that to whom much is given, much is required. They, prior to their repentance, were the very vilest of sinners. They had sought to destroy the church of God. And so, recognizing that God was willing to spare them and to forgive them, gave them a desire that not one soul should perish. They esteemed of great value the kingdom of heaven, salvation, the love of God. It says, as you read on here, that they were thrown into prisons. They were beaten. They were starved. They suffered many afflictions for that love of God, that they would be able to witness to their enemies. Yet they remained faithful, and because they remained faithful, many thousands were converted to the love of God. What is the kingdom of heaven worth to you? Where will you be this evening when the word of God is being preached? When your brother and sister has spiritual needs, what do you do? Are you in fasting and prayer for them? Do you visit them when they're sick? What do you do in your spare time? Do you read the Word of God? Or do you find some other diversion to fill your time? Alma chapter 9, beginning in the middle of verse 15. It is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid up under a strict command that they shall not impart only according to the portion of his word, which he doth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. And therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. I want to just stop in the middle of this. What this is saying is give heed and diligence to reading the word of God. Take time out during the day to fill yourself as you do with food every day. Take time out to read the word of God and not just read it to get through it, but to ask God, what do you want me to get out of this? What do you want me to do with this that I learned? It says that Alma and the sons of Mosiah took what they learned and preached it. They told others. People are starving for hope out there. They don't see any hope in this world. And they're searching for it in booze and drugs. They don't know that there's a Savior. You do. I do. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word. What a treasure there is in the word of God. What a treasure that's available to us. That's why it was so important for Nephi and his brothers to take the plates. Upon the plates was the word of God, was hope. With salvation. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God. The things you want to know, you can know them. Give heed and diligence to his word. And you can know him for the purpose that you can witness to others. Until they know them in full. You can know the mysteries of God until you know them in full. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion of the word, until they know nothing concerning his mysteries. And then they are taken captive by the devil, and led by his will down to destruction. And so if we give up our time continually in the things we want to do, and in our own diversions, our own will, our own fulfillment of the flesh, the things we want to do, the end thereof is that destruction. What do you choose to do with God's money? Do you return it to him at least a tenth, a tithe? Third book of Nephi, chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. This is also found in Malachi, chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. What hope do you offer to the people you meet? Do you let them know of the gospel of Christ and the joy, peace, and love that it brings? I want you to, and if you don't feel that love and peace right now, I want you to remember a time you did. And I want you to get back to the place you were when you felt that. What were you doing? Were you reading his word? Were you drawing close to other people you know are close to God? Were you spending time with them? Were you in church? Were you spending time alone with God out in the wilderness? Were you fasting and praying? I'm going to read now from Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be reading some parables about the kingdom of heaven. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of heaven, of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And I want you to remember for a moment the scripture that we read. Who is it that it is given to know the mysteries of God? The ones who give heed and diligence to his word. They heard, his disciples heard, and responded. So they asked, his disciples asked, why is he speaking to the multitude in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And they hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. And this is why they were spoken to in parables. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Hear it. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. So at first, have joy in hearing it. Yet he hath no root in him, but dureth for a while. So it endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of this, the word, by and by, he is offended. So runs from persecution. Runs from tribulation. Does not take value and worth in that pearl, that kingdom of heaven, that word of God. Doesn't see its worth. He also that received the word among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Tempted away by the things of this world, the cares of this world, the things that we think will please, but leave us for rot. But he that received the word, the seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And why is that? Why did they bring forth fruit? Because they find it of value, and they do the things they have to do to make it grow in their hearts. They give heed and diligence to the word. They read it. They pray about it. They ask God, what does it mean? They ask God, what do you want me to do with it? Let it bear fruit. Let this seed grow in my heart, in my soul, that it becomes the biggest thing in my life, the most important thing in my life. Another parable put he forth unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto him, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay. Lest while ye gather up, the tares. Ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he. And that, of course, last one was a parable of that last day. Same as the sheep and the goats when he divides. And the sheep to everlasting life. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, a very small seed. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a very small seed. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Talking about what the kingdom of heaven, the power of God, and the power of the kingdom of heaven that comes from a very small seed. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things. Okay. I don't know. Before I go on, leaven. I don't know if you have baked before. Leaven is what causes the bread to rise. It brings life to the bread. The same is the kingdom of God. It brings hope and life to those who take that seed in them. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. It's Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Brothers and sisters, I'm preaching this morning because we have need of repentance. We have need to fall down on our knees before God, me included, and draw close to him. We have received warning upon warning that the end is near. And I know you've heard it since you were young. This last Wednesday night at prayer service, God gave us a message that we need to be praying for our nation. our nation's leaders, our young people. We need to be praying for ourselves. We're not living like we should be living with the pearl that we have. And we need to fall down on our knees in repentance and draw close to Him like never before. That's the message.
Thank you, Darren.